It's good to see everybody this evening. Of course, I'm glad to see anybody at this age, but I'm glad to see everybody this evening. It's a pleasure to be in the Lord's house with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you this evening thanking you that you're an almighty, sovereign God. From everlasting to everlasting, you do not change. We thank you, Father, that you are in our hearts, in our lives, in our thoughts, in our prayers. Father, we thank you that one day you brought us out of darkness into light, saved our wretched soul, adopted us in your family as a child of God. And Father, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, even though sometimes, like your salvation, we don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. We don't merit it. But by your grace, you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we thank you that your grace is always sufficient. Your mercies are new every day. And your love is unfathomable. So Father, today we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for who you are, for what you've done, and for what you're going to do. We love you. We thank you for all the good things you give us each and every day. And when we look at our past and see where you've brought us from and where you've brought us to, we're thankful, we worship you, we praise you, and we give you glory. We ask you to set our minds on your word. I pray that I might speak with clarity and understanding, and Lord, that you might give me your wisdom. And Father, that you might bind Satan and every principality of darkness, that we might be able to study your word, that we might enjoy your presence, that we might love each other the way you saved us and chose us and changed us, that we can love each other with the love of Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we fail you so often, for we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Amen. This evening, of course, we're in the book of 2 Peter. Make sure I get that right to start with. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I thank you all for the loan of the glasses. Now I have no excuses, so I'm kind of handicapped. But this is some of the greatest verses of Scripture in all the Bible that we're looking at in 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning in the third verse. And I think we got through three words this morning. And so tonight we'll try to do a little better than that. But it is an unbelievably unsearchable richness of truth that God gives us in these verses of Scripture that goes beyond what our finite minds can comprehend and grasp and take hold of. And yet it ought to be such an encouragement to each of us as a born-again believer that we would begin to expand our horizons and we would begin to reach out from where we are and allow God to really use us in a way that we never thought possible. And so I pray that that will affect myself and you the same way as we go forward through the Scriptures. I'll begin reading in verse 3 and read through verse 7. His divine power has given us everything. And we could stop right there and go on forever. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort And I really think that's, as I had you underline different things in verses 3 through 4, I think you need to underline that in the fifth verse. Make every effort, because that's where we fall short so many times. To add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So we have these different things that we find in the scripture today. And one thing that we were talking about when when the bell rang and we quit this morning was how important it is for each of us, as we just got through talking about His divine power, and that is so been so overwhelming in my life, to see not only the presence of God, but what God could do with a worthless vessel like me, to understand that. And I've told people this so many times, and I guess I've told them so many times, they think that I'm saying something that I'm just saying to say that isn't quite true, but it's absolutely true. When I tell them, I just show up. Because when you think about it, that's what God has asked you to do. God has given you everything for life and godliness by His divine power. And so the question is, are you going to show up or not? That's the question. And as we look at all this, I pray that it not only builds our faith and encourages us, but I also pray that it actually challenges us to go on from where we are as a Christian, to reach out beyond where we have, to get out of our comfort zone, and to get into a place. One of the greatest places you could ever be is when you simply walk by faith, when you simply believe God to the point you're willing to, at that point that you see what God can do. Not what man can do, not what is your abilities and your natural gifts, that now you're operating in the realm of the supernatural or in the realm of the gifts that ever do. And when you reach that point and you see that, you feel that, you experience that, then you have reached a plateau that brings real joy, that in going through these scriptures, that you will come to that place in your life where you want to go beyond where you are as a Christian. So He wants us to remember, like we said this morning, remember. If you go down to verse 12, what did He say that ties all this together that He's already said? So I will always firmly establish in the truth you now have. Then He says, I think it is right to refresh your side, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make, what did He say? I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to, what? Reminded of these things, and to remember these things. And as we said this morning, we easily take our salvation for granted, and we easily forget who we are. And that's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. The first, the richness of our salvation. And what is that in verse 3 and 4? His awesome statement. For life and godliness, giving us everything we need. By the way, I wrote this on the bottom of my study sheet. And I wrote it on there because I am so forgetful. More, both of them have COVID. So remind me of that, because I'll probably forget it. So somebody remind me. And also for my kids. Okay. All right. This is an illustration. Think about it. As that tadpole gets older, he develops what? Legs, right? Legs. What is it that he does not have? He has everything. He is complete. Two arms, two legs, two ears, two nose, two nose. Think about it. But what happens then when that baby is born? He develops what he already has. Now, I want you to transfer that to your... God gives you everything when you're born again. And that develops over your Christian life. It's not that you need anything else. It's what I said this morning. The problem is that we're asking God to give us strength. We're asking God to lead us. We're asking God to get, we're either or both ignorant of what we have in Christ, or we don't have the will to carry through because of our lack. We're either ignorant to what we have in Christ, we don't realize all that we have in Christ, or we don't use the will and the faith to need. I have everything already. Just when that little baby's born physically, he has all his power. Need for life and godliness. Now, when we talk about life, we're not talking about, well, how's your... That's internal, okay? Internally, God has given you everything you need internally. You can live internally. And he says, everything. I've given you everything. And as I told you this morning in my Christian life, well, I went to school for 3 years to be a chemist and a biologist. That's what I went to college for. It's what I went to school for. When I went to Bible college, I had to start back as a junior, even though I'd finished 3 years of college, because, and neither does some of the other courses I took in chemistry and biology. But anyway, what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is this. In the Christian life, less is more. When I got into Bible college, I was born again, and the Bible is the Word of God. That's what I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. I had no God to us. When God called me to preach, halfway between Brookport, Illinois and Metropolis, Illinois, that's where I surrendered to preach, driving down Highway 45. I was the most introverted person on the face of the earth. I know this is hard for you to believe, but when I came to Waldo Baptist Church, I had people come hear me preach to see if I could talk. I had people come hear me preach to see if I would... what I could say, because I wasn't a talker, I wasn't someone that stood out in the crowd, I wasn't this kind of person, which was a great advantage. Because what I learned then was the less I became, the greater he became. when I was in total dependence upon Him through faith in His power, His grace, and His mercy, I got to see things that were impossible for human beings to accomplish. If for 1 minute I thought I could do it, I would be a failure. But as long as I, and if I would just show up knowing who God is and what God can do, and believing that to the point that my will would become, that His will would become my will, and I was willing to step out on faith, I could see things like, I'm a big sports fan, but to me that's more exciting than anything on the face of the earth. When you know in your heart and in your life and in your mind that God has just done something through your life that would be absolutely impossible with you. You have experienced the divine power of an almighty God that can work in you to do, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you are so real to me. And this is what we see when we come to these scriptures in the Word of God here. Everything that I need, life internally, godliness externally. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. Does that mean that I'm not what I used to be? Absolutely. Does that mean that God is still working in me? You bet. Does that mean that I have seen God do everything that He can do through me? Not at all. And so that your Christian life becomes a journey of excitement, challenge and excitement, because you begin to stretch yourself beyond where you are in Christ. And as you do that, you get to experience these things in your life. I don't know why, but I had other friends of mine I went to Bible college with that were pastors. Before they would go out and preach, they would be in the bathroom throwing up because they would be so scared and they'd be so nervous. Not once in my lifetime, whether it was 10 people or 1,000 people, and I have talked before 1,000 people, did it bother me. And it simply didn't bother me because I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was His divine power that He had placed within me that gave me everything I needed for life and godliness. And now Peter's coming along and he's saying, get a hold of this. Remind yourself of this. Remember this. Remember this every day of your life. Remember this every day of your life. God has given you everything you need for life and God. It's not like I'm praying, oh God, give God lead me. God gets so frustrated. We pray, God wants to lead you. God will lead you. God will give you strength. God has given you strength. But we're asking the wonderful thing that God did when He saved us. The richness of our salvation. The richness from the outside. God has given us that. I don't think that's a word from God. I think that's somebody's phone. I want to get ahead of myself, which I do sometimes, and then I think, man, I wish I'd said that. Think about this. We talk about saving faith. What is saving faith? Saving faith is when God gives you the faith to believe in Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior in your life. So sometimes we talk about saving faith and we don't think about everything that came with saving faith. We just think, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm going, that's what saving faith means. I've repented of my sins by the grace of God. God has called me out of darkness into light. I've placed my faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. I'm a child of God. But there is so much more to it. There is so much more to it. When we talk about saving faith, we're also talking about all of this. When we see this, as we're talking about here. Now then, faith that is able to carry us ever... Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians and then Ephesians chapter 1 himself. And he says in verse 3, praise be to God with every spiritual blessing in Christ. All right. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Do. And your Bible may say abundantly important part. More. More than what? Or imagine. Some pretty greater things done through us because of Christ. Me to preach. And who I am at this point. Large crowds. And sermons are going. Sermons are. And do you think did that? Imagine. That God said, sermons you want me to do, I'll serve you anywhere you want. I was born again. And then I went home and those old saints that I knew, known it for a long time. And so I came out here to a little white frame and they called me to pastor the church. Well, the church building was finished, like I said, the first. And as God began to work, people a night be saved. Who do you think did that? And so out here in the corner, I want you to understand, it doesn't matter who. I need to build that church on the interstate. We need to buy. You got to. I see God, and God said, oh, no wonder it grew. You put sucker. Absolutely. Let me go ahead and read here in Ephesians. I got carried away. According to His power that is at work within us. Same thing Peter said, isn't it? According to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Through our knowledge of Him. You say, well, I know who Christ is. You think you do, but you must not. Because if you really understood who Christ is in you, you would understand that He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. And don't get me wrong, I fall short so many times. Just like you, there's times in my life where I know God wants me to go and do something. And I put it off, or I don't go, or I make 1,000 excuses, or whatever, and I don't do it. And let me tell you this, every time I don't do it, you know what I've done? I have missed out on seeing what God can do. And not only have I missed out on seeing what God can do, but I might as well have told God, I don't believe you can do it. Because that's the opposite of faith. Faith says, I know who Christ is. I know Christ has given me everything I will ever need for life and godliness. I know that I cannot even imagine what He can do through my life if I'm just willing to believe Him and conform my will to His. I will see God do things that is totally impossible for man to do because of His power that is within me. I cannot even imagine what He can do. And that's why I told you this morning, when I see somebody that's saved, I mean really saved, born again, child of God, and I see them begin to grow, and they come to me and they say, you know, I through your life. You cannot even imagine about Him. Okay. This is what Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, okay? First of all, chapter 2, verse. We all believe that, don't we? That He's one. And you are complete in Him. And Christ is 100% in you. The problem is, you've either and believed Him. It's us. We're the problem. We're the problem. What time is it? I done went past my stopping time. I don't care. I'm going to go on anyway. I'm going to do one more thing, then we're going to stop. Verse 4. Through these, oh, by the way, glory and goodness go with life and godliness. Glory is internal, goodness is external. So life and glory is internal, godliness and goodness is external. God has placed His life and His glory in you because He can work out godliness and goodness through you. That's external. Verse 4, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. You've got to be kidding. You? Henry Brown? How long have we known each other, Henry? Too long, yeah. Too long. We went to school together. You can participate in the divine nature. Why? Good Lord. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's incomprehensible. That a country boy from Massac County like Henry and I, we can participate with God, not in humans. Most of the time we're not participating because we either don't have the faith or the will to stretch ourselves and to do what God wants us to do in our lives. And so we'll stop right there for tonight because it's 13 after. Okay, you want to cut us off, David? Any questions? Thank you, honey. Debbie Lovin and Mike Hicks, Kevin.
Saturday, she was just feeling a little sick, and they found her.
What's her name, Noah?
Her name is Marcia.
Marcia. All right. We want to pray for Marcia, too. Remember her in our prayers. Jana has a blanket that she wants us to pray over. Kay has surgery Tuesday at Baptist Hospital. She's having her gallbladder taken out. And pray that that will take away her sickness every day, her nausea every day. She weighs 90-something pounds now. She did weigh 130, and now she weighs 90-something pounds. And she struggles to eat. Stop the nausea.
What time?
We've got to be there at 8 o'clock, but we're fine. We've got somebody within us that his power is imaginable, unimaginable, and greater than we can even imagine. All right. So we're, yes, Jana.
Justin Morgan. That's Jacinda Shoemaker's son. That's Kenny's nephew.
Frank Forthman?
No, Justin Morgan.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Frank.
Yeah. Well, Frank also.
Right.
Justin. Kidney stone. That kidney is full of infection. His colon is full of infection. And his adrenal gland is full of infection.
I understand. Yes, he is. Very sick. I've had two kidney stones myself. I'll get one group up here at the choir loft and we'll pray for these on the prayer list and these that are sick and hurting.
Jack?
Yeah. Do you know her name?
Her name is Sydney.
Sydney?
Yeah.
Sydney. Okay. Okay. And Jana?
Yes, sir.
Who's this blanket for?
Janet Dennis.
Okay. Janet Dennis. Well, let's pray over the blanket. And then I'll get a group up here in the choir loft and we'll pray for those that are sick and hurting. Nate, get a group back here in this corner. Pray for our services next Sunday through the week, and Kev, you get a group over here in this corner and pray for the churches in our surrounding area and missionaries. Mission, okay? All right. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Jana has made this blanket, as she's made many, because she feels like this is what you've led her to do. We know that even as we pray over it, there's nothing that makes this spiritual or magical or anything like that. But we know that the fervent prayer of righteous will bring about healing according to the book of James. She's this blanket. She knows we're praying for her. And we pray that that strength that you have, you've granted her, might grow even stronger. And we do pray for healing and grace because they love her. So use this for your glory and for her good. And we ask it all.